The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Thank you guys again so much just for you, I say you guys, you all, thank you all so much for what you do. It's a tough task. And so today is, we wanted to honor first responders, 9/11, the memory of that. In the process of doing this and thinking through like what it means to be a first responder and if I were to talk to first responders, what I would want to say to them, it ended up being that like everybody kind of came up. Because if not, then like, why are the rest of us here today? If it's First Responders Day, then let them come to church. We get the day off. We get to stay home, and they can come to church. That's kind of the idea. But it's not true, because when Scripture talks, it doesn't just talk to first responders. It doesn't just talk to one group of people. It talks to all of us. And so while today is specifically designed for first responders because of some of the stuff that you alone experience, it also is good words for all of us to hear and all of us to put into play. And so I want to tell you this morning, first of all, to first responders, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Secondly, keep going, because we need you to keep going. We need you to do what you do so that we can continue to do what we do. We need to live in peace and know that we're taken care of, safety, security, all those different things. And so thank you, but keep going. And the message for us as a Christian this morning is thank you for what you do. Because maybe though you're not a first responder, there's something that you do. And so I want to thank you just this morning as a Christian, because you are to somebody a first responder that points them to Christ. The second part of that also goes to you. Keep going. Our passage of scripture this morning, we're going to look at it, is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. And that passage is one of my favorite passages of scripture, but it struck me as kind of weird too. Why in the world would we get tired of helping other people? I mean, doesn't that seem like the most like common thing you could, like the most basic thing you could do? Is help other people, right? I mean, like, everybody deserves help. And you don't, like, how many of you guys, if you're driving out of here today and you saw somebody who was, let's say, broke down, and you didn't have a Saints game you had to get to, you didn't have anything going on, there was nothing, you had your free schedule, unlimited money, you'd stop and help them, right? Because there's just something about like helping other people. It's just kind of this natural basis for life. We all kind of have that tendency, that pull, that draw to us, that we want to help other people. But what struck me about it isn't the fact that Paul says this is natural, that people want to help. He says, don't get tired of doing that. How could you get tired of doing what's just basic, what's natural? How could you, as first responders, how could you, as humanity, how could you get tired of helping people? And then it led me to this. How many of y'all ever worked with people in any capacity whatsoever at all? How many of you had a conversation with somebody today? Anybody get tired of having conversations with people because they're people? I'm going to tell myself, I'll get phone calls. And Kelsey's like, hey, this person's calling. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to him. I'm not here. Let it go to voicemail. If it's important, they'll leave me a voicemail. And she's like, are you sure you don't need to talk to this person? I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to talk to people. I've dealt with people long enough. I'm done with people, because people are what? People. Exactly. People are people, and they're annoying, and they bother you. And man, they get under your skin, and they do things. And listen, how many of y'all have ever done this? Somebody comes to you, and they're like, hey, listen, I need advice. I'm going through this. And you say, no problem. I am a people person fixer. I can fix your problems if you listen to me. And so you give them the advice, and you say, this is what you need to do. You need to do A, B, C, and D. And they go out, and they leave, and they go, and they do X, Y, and Z. They do the exact opposite of what you tell them to do. And you're like, and then they come back to you again. Oh man, I need some help. I need your advice. No, I'm not going to give you advice. You didn't listen to the last advice I gave you. Why am I going to give you more advice? And what you will experience in working with people, whether you are a first responder or you just are a human being, is people are people and they're broken. And because people are broken, you constantly see the brokenness in humanity. And that's tough. That's tough to deal with. And first responders, you deal with it on a different level. You get to see the absolute worst of the worst. And your job is literally to deal with the brokenness in humanity. The rest of us, can we kind of get breaks maybe? You know, we can like remove ourselves from people. If the phone rings and you first responders get up and leave service now, I know where you're going. You're not just going to like go hang out someplace. You're going because you have to answer that call. I can shut my phone off. I can put my phone down. Some of us, we get breaks from dealing with people. You don't. But the bad thing about being a first responder, the bad thing about being a person is we are constantly reminded of the brokenness in humanity. It's everywhere. It's all around us. Anytime you deal with people, you are overwhelmed by their brokenness. You see the very worst in humanity. There's a passage in Psalm 71. It says this: "You have made me see troubles, many and bitter, but you will restore me." Now, what's that passage mean? It means that we all see troubles. Every single one of us, and I think about who wrote that. David was the one who wrote that. The author of Psalms is David. David writes, "You make me see troubles many and bitter." Again, and I told y'all this last week, if I was to be the one who had to like rule the U.S. government, God help us all and God help me. Because like, there's no way in the world. Can you ever imagine the problems, the difficulties that people in leadership see that nobody else does? They see brokenness. Do you ever think about those first responders? You guys see brokenness on a new level. If you work in a hospital, in a doctor's office, if you work in a patrol car or a fire department truck, you see brokenness and you see the absolute worst of humanity over and over and over again. And it's tough. And if you're not a first responder, if you're just a person that's here today to come to church, you see the absolute worst in humanity over and over and over again, don't you? Nobody sees the brokenness that you see. Nobody sees the troubles that you see. Nobody sees the relationship with your family, with your friends. Those are people that only you can see, and you see the brokenness in humanity in a completely new and different way from anybody else. But the last passage, the last part of that passage that David writes, he says, "But you will restore me. You will restore me." So even though we all see the absolute worst, the brokenness in humanity, there is this idea that there's hope somewhere out there, that somehow, even in all this brokenness, we can find hope that our souls, that our spirit, that God is going to restore us in the process of all of our brokenness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what Paul says. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile or wasted. It is never without purpose." Thank you for dealing with what you deal with as a first responder, as a person. Thank you for dealing with all that you deal with. But don't quit. Keep going. Because what that tells me is that even though you've seen the brokenness, you've seen the absolute worst in humanity, we all have, we all experience those times where we see the absolute worst that people have, we can't quit, we can't stop, we can't give up. Because what that passage that we just read, the 1 Corinthians passage says, is that nothing is ever done is wasted. All of our work, even to the point of exhausted, y'all ever get exhausted? I mean, just done. I'm tired, I want to put my feet up, I don't want to move. If you continue to work, if you work at that, it's not even, and you go past that, you work past that, you work through that, you continue to do what you're supposed to do, it's not done pointlessly. It's not done without a purpose. And you say, okay, well, great, what does that mean? giving up, I think, is an interesting term too, because giving up doesn't always look like what we want to look like. Giving up for most of us, when I say the term giving up, what do y'all think of? I quit. I'm out. Right? I'm going to quit my job as a firefighter. I'm going to quit my job as a paramedic. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to go buy a cabin somewhere in Montana and put up a barrier, and no one's going to come within 500 feet of my house, or I'm going to have like something go off and I don't know. It's going to keep them out. We'll just say that. That would be giving up. But I think there's this other type of giving up that affects us all on a little bit more basic level that we don't want to admit to, that we don't want to acknowledge. It's the giving up where we think this. We think that what we do doesn't matter, so there's no point in trying anymore. And so you still get up, and you still go to your job, and you still do your thing, and you still do what you have to do, but you go into it with the intention that nothing you do matters, and so really you're just here. It doesn't matter what you do. That happens for firefighters. That happens for police officers. That happens for teachers. That happens for doctors. That happens for nurses. That happens for students. That happens for every single one of us. We get to this point, and giving up looks like this. It's not so much that we quit and that we just leave it alone. It's that we think that what we're doing makes no impact whatsoever at all. And since what we're doing makes no impact at all, we don't really care what we do. We don't care how we respond to people. We don't care what we think. We don't care what we say. We become uncaring in our response to people. That's the kind of giving up that's dangerous. Because that giving up, again, you're functioning, you're there, but you've resigned that you won't make a difference. Paul, when he writes that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, don't grow weary in doing good. He also gives us some points, I think, that help us to keep from giving up. Regardless of who you are today, where you are today, the truth is, God needs you to do what you do, because what you do matters. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're a teacher, if you're a student, if you're a grandparent, if you're retired, if you're whoever you are, what you do matters, and God needs you to continue to do what you do because it matters what you do. And so in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, this is the whole passage. He says this, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows. Whoever sows from the flesh will from the flesh reap destruction, but whoever sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not become weary in doing good. Another passage says, don't lose heart in doing what is good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of believers. In this, I think you find three things that keep you and I from getting the point, even when we're exhausted, of giving up and thinking that what we do doesn't matter anymore. Three real quick things, and then we're done. We're going to go eat. We're going to have a good time just enjoying being around each other today. The first one is this. Don't play games with God. Y'all ever think you can play games with God? We don't. We wouldn't say that at church. There's no way we'd say that at church. Like you may say that with like your friends later on when you're like, you know, whatever, but like we wouldn't say that at church. But how many of us actually play games with God? Anybody think that you can ever trick God? Like anybody ever try to use reverse psychology on God? Hey, I'm going to pray for this because I don't want this to happen, and God never answers my prayers. And so if I pray for this, which I don't want to happen, then the other thing's going to happen and it's going to work out. And God, I'm going to reverse psychology you. No, it doesn't work like that. God's not tricked. He's not deceived. He knows your heart. He knows your prayers. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows. And so the first thing that we have to realize is if we're going to not give up, we can't play games with God. We can't fake it. We can't put on the false face. We can't come out and just say, hey, listen, we're going to pretend that everything's okay, even when it's not. We have to become honest with God, and we have to realize that God is not deceived. He is not mocked, and there are no games you can play with him. God wants your absolute honesty. When you're exhausted, when you're done dealing with people, you're done reflecting Christ, you're exhausted, you don't want to do that anymore. You don't care about how people view you. It doesn't matter to you anymore. The best thing you can do is tell God that. Be honest with him. Don't play games with him and try and trick him and try and convince him that who you are is different than what you are. He already knows. That's what he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows. The second thing I think we can do is be careful of our desires and what we're planning. When desires become about what makes us happy instead of what reflects Christ, then what happens is we start to plant seeds based on our happiness instead of what we need to, reflecting God's glory. This is number one easiest thing to do that is going to lead to giving up. Because what happens is we get tired, we get exhausted, and our focus shifts from, hey, listen, I've got a job to do. I've got a job to reflect Christ in everything I do. I have a job to glorify God with my life. And what we shift from is that to, I just want to get my happiness. And so all of a sudden I start to do things not based off of what is going to happen or what I need to do to better reflect Christ. I start to do things simply based off of what's going to make me the happiest. And when I start to make decisions based off of what's going to make me the happiest, what I do is I ignore what God is calling me to do. I put that off. I put that to the backside. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to sow seeds that are based strictly off of my happiness. Can I be honest? Well, I don't know. I don't need your permission, I guess. I'm going to. This is tough. You want to know why your marriage is in trouble? Your marriage is in trouble because of this, because what you've done is you've put your happiness above God's plan. Because see, when it becomes about my happiness, well, hey, listen, my wife, she's tired. So when she gets done, and this, you can ask her, this is God's honest truth. She gets done, she goes to bed probably 11:30, 12. My brain doesn't shut off at 11:30 or 12 at night. I wish it did, but it doesn't. So what do? I sit there and I'm awake for another 2 to 3 hours staring at the ceiling, looking around the room like, what am I going to do? Now I've got to be in bed because she's in bed, but I'm not really tired. And so I don't want to go to bed. I'm just here because she's here. And so I sit there and I think about it. It'd be easy to say, you know what? Listen, my happiness comes first. So I'm going to talk to somebody. I'll find somebody. You can go anywhere online and find somebody to talk to. Any time of day, any time of night, any time of whatever. Tommy thought I was online the other day at 3 o'clock in the morning and he sent me a message and my computer just got left open. And so like but it's so easy to do that. But when we do that, what are we doing? We're putting our happiness before our calling to reflect Christ. You want to know why your life is a mess? It's because you put your happiness, your desires above God's calling on your life. And now you've planted seeds, and now you're reaping that harvest. Be careful with this one, church. Be careful with this one, first responders. Be careful with this one, whoever you are. If you can hear this today, please, I beg you, anytime you start to make decisions based off of your happiness instead of what God desires for you, you're going to reap destruction in the end. I promise, it's all over Scripture. The last thing I think is this, is just do good. This may not even relate to y'all at all. Any Boy Meets World fans in here? Anybody ever watch the show Boy Meets World? Okay, if you've seen the show Boy Meets World, man, I'm a crier, I guess, but like, y'all remember the last episode of Boy Meets World? Mr. Feeney has the class there and he tells them like his final instructions for them are what? Do good. And the one smart kid goes, don't you mean do well? And he goes, no, I mean do good. It's such a simple, basic thing, but what Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 is, listen, do good. Do what's good. Do what's right. When you have those decisions and you have that choice and you have the opportunity and the availability to do what's good and to do what's right, you take it and you do it. Anybody ever like had the inner conflict going on in their brain where it's like, I want to do this, but I don't know if I should do this? Anybody ever have that inner conflict? Okay, good. I thought I was the only one for a second. I was getting really, really worried. How many of you ever had that inner conflict with something that is basic? Should I feed my kids dinner tonight? It's Sunday. I'm tired. I had a long day today. I don't really want to feed my kids dinner tonight. I don't want to go cook. I don't want to go do that stuff. Does anybody ever have that conflict? No, exactly. You have the conflict, but what do you always choose? You choose to do what's right, to take care of your kids, to feed them dinner. Why? Because it's good. Things that are good and right in life, we seem to not really have a hard time doing until it affects us in a way that we don't want to admit. Again, we have that conflict because our desire is, I'm worried about myself instead of taking care of other people. Paul tells you, hey, listen, simple is this. You want to not get tired. You want to not give up. You want to not quit. Focus on doing what is good. He goes on and he continues there. He amplifies that. He says, do what's right or do what's good to all people, but especially to those who are the household of faith. Your job as a Christian is this. Do good to people who share your faith, people who are Christians like you, and people who you need to point to faith. If you're doing good to those two people, guess what? You're doing good to everyone. Because either they are a Christian, and so what you're doing is you're taking care of part of the body of Christ by doing good to them, or they're not a Christian yet, and what you do can be a direct way that they come to know Christ. And so your job is simple. Do good to everybody. Do good. Do what's right. Do what's just. Do what's fair. Be an example of who Christ is to you, to every single person you come in contact with. Sound hard? Sound difficult? Not really. But man, this is key to not giving up. This is the key to continuing to keep going, even when you're exhausted, even when people annoy you, even when the world and all the brokenness piles up in such a huge way that you want to just say, hey, listen, I'm done, I give up. If you do these things, if you keep this mindset in you, you will keep going under the most difficult of circumstances. Again, this is the first responder part of it. Man, you guys, I'm so sorry. I've had lots of friends over the years who were police officers, firefighters, different things like that. What you guys see is the absolute worst in humanity. It really is. You see brokenness on a new level. The things that you guys deal with, I can't even begin to understand it. I can't even begin to wrap my head around it. My challenge for you is to keep going and realize that what you're doing is not just making a difference in your community. What you're doing is making an eternal difference in someone's life. Because when you go on those calls, when you go and you're that first person there, you have the power to reflect Christ in such a way that somebody who is broken and needing to see hope sees it in you. Now, church, those of you who aren't first responders, you're a first responder to somebody. Because you are somebody who, when life falls apart, you're the first person they're going to call. You're the first person they're going to reach out to. You're the first person they're going to seek advice from. You have the power at that moment to change that person's eternity with how you reflect Christ and how you respond to that person. But you can't do it if you give up. So thank you for what you do, but keep going. God, thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for first responders, for those of us, or for those that are in the room that have got there on the front lines. They deal with the brokenness of humanity in a different way than most of us could ever imagine. Father, I thank you for them. I pray that a hedge of protection around them, around their family. Lord, I pray that you would just be with them in a great and mighty way. And that, Father, you would keep them encouraged and keep them focused on serving you. Father, for those of us who don't wear a badge, we don't have a uniform, but Father, we're the first person that people are going to reach out to when their life falls apart. God, I pray that you would make us aware the power that we have in our responses and our relationships to people to point them to you is great. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us all to keep going, to not give up, to continue to point people towards you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsport.com. moringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.